he wants to until you get rid of the button. Until you get rid of the button, he'll push it. He'll bug you. God told me one time, he said, it's easy for you to tell where your weaknesses are. The same thing keeps bothering you over and over and over. And God told me, he said, take that and make yourself strong in that area. Use the word on that and get strong in that area, and you'll get rid of that and you won't have that problem anymore. Certain little things bother us all the time. Certain little things make us mad. Certain little things upset us. We've just got to, until you get rid of that and die to that and change that, Satan will always bug you with it. Amen? You've got a certain fear about something. Afraid you're going to get broke. Afraid you're going to get sick. Afraid you're going to die. You'll always have that. Amen? Like somebody said, you know, a brave man dies one death. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. You know, always. You know, my dad, he's always, and of course, everybody's like that, you know. They always think they're going to get something, going to kill them, they're going to die today, you know. He lived to be 87. I thought, look at there, Dad, all those times you was worried about dying was a waste of time. You just wasted time. You just die once, forget it. Amen? Well, think about it. Some men won't go to the doctor because they're afraid to find out what's wrong with them. Men's bad for that. They don't want to know. So, dear God, tell me. I want to know so I can deal with it. Amen? But we're funny. There was a fellow in the Bible by the name of Hezekiah, 36th chapter of Isaiah. Is that where you're at? He had a rough day. He was a good king. Outside of David, I guess he was one of the best kings, a better king. He was a good man. Made some mistakes like all of us do, but he was a good man. Good king. He came on the throne, and he began to get rid of the false gods, tore down the high places. He resumed worship in the temple. He set everything back up. He made laws. He got rid of all that. You're going to worship God, and I mean it. You know, that's what the king's supposed to do. And he run all the idol worshipers out of town and all that. There was a group at that time, they ruled for about 700 years, called the Assyrians. Their capital was Nineveh. You ever heard of Nineveh? And they were so vile, I was reading some about them one time, and historians say, probably throughout history, there was probably the cruelest army that ever was. Of any, all the nations that ruled or reigned, they're probably the cruelest of any. And that's saying a lot. They ruled through terror, which that's how evil does. At hearing another name, you know, you just give up. You surrender. And even a lot of military communists are bad for that. I know a lot of the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, and those little villages, they ruled by fear. They'd come in those villages and they'd torture the women and the old people, bring some of the younger men out who wouldn't be VC or whatever and shoot them in front of everybody else or shoot one of their kids or torture the women, and very cruel. And they ruled by fear and saying, well, you know, you have to follow us, rule us by fear. That's the way the Assyrians were. They had all kind of ways to torture people. The kings, when they conquered a nation, they really tortured their kings or their leaders. They said they'd skin people alive and leave them to die, you know, just to go among the people and just die, and you know, cut off limb, punch out their eyes, do all kind of cruel things. That's why when God told Jonah, you go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent, or I'm going to bring judgment. And Jonah said, forget it, I'm not going. I don't like that bunch. They're cruel. And they had come into Israel. They destroyed Israel. See, the 12 tribes of Israel, they split under Rehoboam and Jeroboam after Solomon. The nation split. 10 tribes went north. Their capital was Samaria. And 2 tribes stayed south, and Jerusalem was their capital. And they call it with Judah and Benjamin. And the Assyrians came in and conquered the 10 tribes, destroyed Samaria, and they scattered the 10 tribes of Israel, and now they say they still don't know where they're at. Never heard of them since. The Assyrians did. They tortured the people, killed multitudes of them, women, children. They took the rest of them and moved them to different places, cities, countries, and moved all the native people out and moved other people into that area. And so they conquered the north up there. And so then they headed south toward Jerusalem. And see, Jonah, and he knew the reputation. He probably had friends or relatives or people he knew that had been tortured or hurt or something by the Assyrians. And so when God told him to go to Nineveh, he said, I'm not going. I hate those people. You don't know what they've done to us, how they've hurt us, how they've hurt mankind. And that'd be like a Jew that was in a concentration camp saying, I want you to go over there and tell Hitler and all of them that, you know, I love them and I want to forgive them. And if I was a Jew, I'd say, you go yourself, Lord. Like Jonah did. I would. I'd say, I'm not going. Like that bunch. Hurt my people. Destroyed people. I don't even understand why you like them, God. What do you want to fool that bunch for? They're the most wicked, evil people on the earth. Why don't you just kill them all? See, we don't know God. And he told Jonah to go, and Jonah went, but he went the other way. He said, I'm not going to tell them nothing. But you know the story. He wound up telling them, and what made him really mad, they repented. And he really got mad then. Well, he went through the town. It began taking 3 days, I think, to walk through the city. And he went one end to the other, just simply had a short message. Repent, for in 40 days God's going to destroy Nineveh. Wasn't it 40 days? Repent, for in 40 days God's going to destroy Nineveh. That was his message. Yeah. And believe me, he stuck to just that message. He wasn't going to add anything to it. He just said what God said because he didn't want to be swallowed by a fish anymore. He didn't want to go on a fish's belly and die. According to scriptures, if you study it, it was type of Jesus going to 3 days, 3 nights in the center of the earth. And Jesus died, and so they say Jonah died. And he said, I'm not going through that again. I'll do whatever. And that fish came up on the shore and puked him out there in front of everybody. And here he came walking out of that fish with seaweed all over him and probably bleached out. And they worshiped a fish god anyway. And when he walked out, everybody said, I'm repenting. They didn't know which god it was, but he said, I'm repenting. And he walked through the city 3 days, and everybody repented. They called for a fast, and everybody throw dust on them and repented. Jonah went up on a hill and sat there waiting for them to be destroyed. Well, they knew he wasn't destroyed, and they all repented, and he really got mad. God, why'd you save that sorry bunch? Then God grew him up a gourd vine. Gourd's got big old leaves on it. Good shade, and a hot sun, and over in where Iraq and Iran That's where Nineveh was, there between the Euphrates and all over there in the desert. That's where they were at. Very hot. You can imagine how hot it was, sitting out there on the hill in that hot sun. And he was glad to get that shade. Then that night he was sleeping, and a little old worm came and chewed the gourd vine off, and there with his shade. He was mad again. This time he's mad because he didn't have a shade. He was mad over the gourd vine being dead, and he's mad at God because he let his shade go away. And God said, you know, you're probably right, getting all upset because you don't have a shade and all that. He said, why can't I save these people? And he mentioned the livestock and the animals in the place. God said, why can't I save them? Why can't I save this people? And he trying to explain to Jonah, and the story ended. I guess Jonah finally made his way back home. But the Assyrians were very cruel people. And they destroyed every place they'd come to. They headed south toward Judah. And in Jerusalem was a city, but all around Jerusalem and the south there, they had other cities. Lachish was a city, and they had other smaller cities all around, and they had conquered each one as they come. And they went in and just annihilated the people, took the others captive. They came to Jerusalem here in 36 chapter, and Sennacherib came down, was king, and had a spokesman, and they started standing outside the gates and the walls, and they put a siege on Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was king. And it says in verse 1, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh with his great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the Fuller's Field. You know where that was. And he told Hezekiah there at one, you can read it in Isaiah and 2 Kings. He said, listen now, you can buy us off. If you'll pay us, we'll leave. So Hezekiah gathered up everything he could get, got all the gold, the silver, the jewels, even took the doors off the temple, because he took the doors and he had overlaid them with pure gold. And he even took the doors off the temple, took everything out there and gave it to them. And so then they immediately left, went over to Lachish, and destroyed that city. That is the next biggest city outside Jerusalem, And destroyed that city, killed the people, just annihilated them, took the rest of them captive. Then came back to Jerusalem and set siege on it. In other words, I lied. And Hezekiah was really upset. What are we going to do? Isaiah came in and told him, said, don't do that. Don't give them nothing. Don't you listen to them. God will protect us. And Hezekiah didn't listen. And Jewish rabbis and historians and Jewish says that they became a big argument or whatever between him and Isaiah, to where they were at odds with each other. And Hezekiah, he reached out to Egypt for help and made a covenant with Egypt to come and help them. Well, Egypt came and they defeated them pretty quick. They're the strongest nation. They ruled the strongest empire, I think, for 700 years. And Isaiah said, I told you, don't do that. Then, in the midst of all that, under siege, Hezekiah got sick. It's one thing, you're going to die, and everybody's going to die in a city under siege. What siege meant, they put a blockade around it. You nobody come in without. And they starved you out. They starved you to death. Well, Hezekiah had fortified the walls, and he'd built a tunnel. He went outside to a spring, and he dug a tunnel underground. It's amazing how far they dug a tunnel. Some of them started at the south end of the city, and some of them started at the north end of the city where the spring was, and they started digging toward each other. And I forget what they said, but come within a foot or two of hitting each other. And they dug a tunnel all the way under the city and turned that spring to water, and it came into the city. And nobody knew it outside, and they went out and stopped up all the springs around where there wasn't any water for the enemy. So if you go to Jerusalem, you'll get to see Hezekiah's tunnel. We walked through there, remember? The tunnel they dug for water. It's pretty smart. But anyway, had them under siege. And besides that, Hezekiah got sick and was going to die. And Isaiah came in, told him, said, set your house in order. You're going to die. And the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and began to plead his case to God. And he said, now I've been a good king. I have missed it. I'll grant you. I shouldn't have went to Egypt. I shouldn't have turned to them. And besides that, the Babylonians had come over and one time, and he'd made parley with them. They'd come back later after he got healed. He showed them everything in the temple, all the gold. Then they came back later and stole everything. But he told the Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I really messed up. Then I got angry at Isaiah and jumped on your prophet and all this and going at it. And a sickness came on him. And God said, are you going to die? And he began to plead his case to God and ask him, would you please let me live? And he said, all right. What he prayed and what he said moved God. Before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, he said, go back in there and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. So he went back and told him, you're going to live. Well, has old Sennacherib and Rabshakeh and Ez outside, and they came and they'd stand out and they're screaming at the people on the walls. And they were talking in Hebrew, in their language, and everybody could understand it. And Hezekiah said, would you please speak in another language? You're scaring the people. And so let's tell them how mean they were. We've conquered all the other cities around. Nobody left but you all. And we're coming in. If you'll go ahead and surrender, we'll just make slaves out of you and take you out of your country and all that, but you at least you'll live, your family will live. And if you don't, we're going to annihilate you and torture you, and you know how we do that. And said, now Hezekiah is telling you, he told you Egypt would help you, but Egypt came and you see what we did to them, and you don't have any help. There's no help. And Hezekiah has dared to stand up and tell you that your God, whom you can't see, is going to help you. And they said, we want to remind you, we've got a stack of gods from other nations we've conquered who said the same thing. And we've conquered all of them and took their gods captive, and we got all their gods in jail. And we've knocked their gods off the throne. Our God is greater. They serve Baal. Their God was the God of nature, much like the Babylonians, the rest of them. They serve the gods of nature, sun, moon, earth, and said, your God is going to do the same thing. We'll whip him. Our God's greater. We've proven that. And so they kept on rattling and talking, you know. Hezekiah upset, naturally. So look with me over in the book of Psalms. Some of the Psalms that Hezekiah wrote, Psalms 120. I like to read some of the things they said, and what they wrote, what they're going through. It's good. You go through some things, but I dare say you've not been in that big a mess. You've not been to that situation, to the God that they couldn't see. The greatest army, military in the world, conquered everybody, tortured everybody. Is that you? Front door, starving you out. Besides that, you get some kind of boil. It probably was cancerous tumor on him. It's some kind of boil, the Bible said, that was killing him. And so if you read, they made some kind of poultice and put on the thing and healed him. But God, you know, healed him. And here in Psalms 120, there's a series of psalms here. There's 15 of them called the Psalms of Ascension, or the Psalms that go up. And I studied trying to find out exactly what that meant, and they really differed views from it, but they don't really know. Some say there was 15 steps to the temple, and each step they would go up to a certain level. They'd stop and read a psalm, read one of these psalms. Then they'd go up the next one and read a psalm till they got up to the where God was, you know, going up. And that's good where praise and worship is concerned, is how we begin to ascend. And we ascend by telling God who He is and expressing in the psalms that we go up until we get to the high praises of God. And in Ezekiel's temple, the future temple that the Jews will build in the 7 years of tribulation, it has 15 steps in it. I think 7 in the outer court and 8 in the inner court. And so I don't know if that has what it was or not. But anyway, these were Psalms of Ascension that Hezekiah put together. Hezekiah wrote 10 of these psalms. David wrote 4 of them. And Solomon wrote 1 of them. And Hezekiah put them together to be read in the temple. Now, when Hezekiah got healed, he asked the Lord for a sign. And the prophet said, well, you want the sundial to go forward or you want it to go backward 10 degrees? He said, well, it's easy to jump forward. I don't know how that would be easy. But he said it'd be real hard to go backward. Make time go backward. So it went backward 10 degrees. So I don't know if that had anything to do with these Psalms of degree, because it was 10 degrees, it went back, and he wrote 10 of them. But anyway, these are some of the psalms that Hezekiah wrote while he was being under siege by the Assyrians. The first one here is the Psalm of Ascension, written by Hezekiah in the time of the Assyrian invasion. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Well, who is lying? They're standing outside with a whole lot of propaganda, telling the people all they're going to do to them and what they're going to do and how they're going to defeat them, how they're going to conquer their God and what they've done to everybody else. He said, Lord, deliver me from that. It'd be good if we listen to some news channels and quote the same song. And from deceitful tongue, what shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongues? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals from the broom of the broom tree. Woe is me, I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now, what that was two groups of tribes of people who lived in the desert, and they were very violent people, tribes, nomads, who lived in the desert, and is very violent. They had a reputation of violence. And so he's saying here, I'm stuck in the middle of them. That's like we would say between a rock and a hard place. That's basically what he's saying. Lord, I'm between a rock and a hard place. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. Now, this is his psalm he was declaring to the Lord while he's under siege. Now, he goes on in the next psalm, Psalm 121, the Song of Ascension, while he is under siege. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Well, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, Jerusalem sits upon a little hill, and all around it's hills. And you can imagine him being out there of a night on the wall looking, and he said, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. Now, what this is all about, see, we can take a lesson from this. You've not been in trouble like Hezekiah was, but yes, you've been in trouble. And what do when we're in trouble? Do we write psalms? Do we sing songs to the Lord? Do we write our own psalm? Do we declare the word of God to him? That's what he was doing. He was telling God his trouble. Listen, Lord, I'm between a rock and a hard place here. I want peace, but everybody wants war. Deliver me from these lying tongues, and this stuff is just vexing my soul. Then he goes to say, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He would not allow my foot to be moved. Now, he was encouraging himself. That's what you ought to do. See, you can take this same psalm. You've never been in this big a mess. Got him out of it. He will not allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Now, I was reading about this, and what he said here, there was a little doubt in this. For what he was saying, I think he said in original Hebrew, it says, I hope he will not allow my foot to be moved. I hope he who keeps me will not slumber. See, he was questioning. I hope he comes through for me. See, that's what we do, really. But that's what he was saying. But then he switches. Evidently, he'd got over in faith, and he begins, Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. Now, he was bold here. This is a faith statement. He says, oh, no. What I just said, I hope he comes through. I'm saying he will come through. He who watches over me never slumbers. The Lord, he is my keeper. The Lord is on my side. He's at my right hand. The sun shall not strike me by day, nor the moon by night. Now, what he was saying there was, there's a lot of people in the Middle East that time had sunstrokes. Out in the sun, it's very common for people to have sunstrokes and die. He's saying, he will not allow me to be stricken by the sun. That's pretty much the same thing Moses wrote in the 91st Psalm. And he says, nor the moon. Now, they know, and you can study, one of the things, moon is lunar, or where we get our word lunatic. And they say that people who were lunatics or went crazy were moonstruck. You ever heard that? And they went crazy, and they even tell you today that people who are insane or what, they're a lot worse on full moons. I don't know, but they say that has something to do with it. Anyway, they say they're moonstruck. That's what he was saying. Nor will I go crazy from all this pressure that I'm under, is what he's saying. I will not. He will not allow me to break under the pressure. Glory to God. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my mind. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in. Well, now that was a faith statement for true there, because everything was shut up. There was no going out and coming in. And he says he's going to keep me till I go out and come back in this place. Making bold statement. Now, the whole time he is doing this, David did this a lot when he wrote the Psalms. David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, we don't do that today. We've lost a lot, miss a lot, and suffer a lot because we don't do that. And the Bible teaches us to do that. To sing psalms to the Lord. Songs to the Lord. And they, you know, that's what we do here on earth. If you listen, I was listening one day going out the road, and something was on the radio. All these songs, and you know, if I listen to anything, it's back to the 50s, you know, or 60s. Outside that, forget it. Can't understand it when he got up there in the 70s or upper 60s. They lost me. But they sang about love. It's all about love, or broken love, or trying to find love, or hunting for love. And all country music says they've lost everything, you know. But they're singing psalms about their life, but it's the wrong song. And we do the same thing. Woe is me, you know. And we're not singing, but we're talking. Talking our problems, confessing everything's wrong. You know, talking all, when what they did, they sang or talk what they wanted to have. They prophesied. They sang unto the Lord a new song. See, that's an art that we've lost. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to do that in praise and worship. The song of the Lord. Amen? Your spirit will do that. The Bible says, I will, Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will sing in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Well, you're going to sing in psalms. So that's what they did. So he was encouraging himself. From this time forward, nevermore. Now, the next psalm was written by David, but he just stuck that in there somewhere, Hezekiah did, because he was put these 15 psalms together as ascension psalms, and they were to be sung. And so he got some that he brought out and put them together. David wrote 122, 124, 131, 133. Now, go over in one, the next one, Psalms 123. Now, still Hezekiah in this situation he's in. Unto you I will lift up mine eyes, O you who dwells in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hands of his mistress, so our eyes look to you, Lord, our God. Notice how he's beginning to change here. Until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt or fear. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. And so that's what the Assyrians were doing, was singing talking how proud they were and what all this is going to do. Now, David wrote this next psalm. Hezekiah sang this psalm when he was under attack or under siege. Let's read it. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, let all the people now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Now how they did these psalms in the temple, they would sing a line and people all would repeat it after them. That's what Psalms 136 was doing. They'd sing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. One would say, for the Lord is good, and the congregation would say, for his mercy endureth forever. Now that's how they sang that. How they sang this, they would sing it and then they would repeat it. That's their praise and worship service. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now they say Hezekiah was singing this and had the people singing that while they was under siege. Now we know that the angel of the Lord came that night and killed 187,000 Assyrians. Sennacherib got up the next morning and his army, his mighty army that he boasted of, that he was proud of, and all his gloating and telling all they were going to do to the little place of Jerusalem, he had to pack up and go home. And when he got home, he went into the temple to worship his God, and his two sons came in and killed him. Enough of Sennacherib, he's gone forever. Amen and amen. So we ought to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about. When you get in trouble, you ought to get some of these psalms. Dear God, instead of playing country music on your way to work, getting depressed, sing one of these psalms. Make your brain feel better anyway. You can get tape, you know, where it just plays the psalms. Are you out there? You going home? Blessed be the church in America forever. Psalms 125. This is the Assyrians, Hezekiah, when the siege was over. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abide forever. This is after the 187,000 was killed. He wrote this psalm. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from the time forth nevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Now, he knew what he was talking about. I messed up, I sinned, got in trouble, but I repented, and the righteous shall not be moved as long as their hand is not in iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their heart. Now, he knows what that means because he got another 15 years added to him. As for such has turned aside their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. The next psalm is Hezekiah, also when the siege was over. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues were singing Then they said, among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continues goes forth weeping, bringing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Now, one more psalm that when they were delivered from Assyrians is 127, Solomon wrote. And this blessed is the everyone who fears the Lord. And that word blessed in Hebrew is happy. And it's repeated three times in the original. Happy, happy, happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. But no amens on that. In every heart of your house, your children are like olive plants. All around your table, behold, thus shall the man be happy who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you out of Zion. Then I put Zion, you know where we are living now, is the church. The Lord blesses you out of the church. And may you see good, see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Amen? Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the next one you can read is where Hezekiah was looking back to what had happened and the things that happened to him. And the next one is where he repents, when he repented, and he was looking at this in Psalms 130. He was thinking of David, and David's heart was to build the house of God. And so Hezekiah's heart was to build the house of God and keep it going. And he was concerned, Hezekiah was, that he would have no children or have no lineage to keep it going, and he was asking God to give him kids, give him children, Psalms 130, which was a mistake because he had Manasseh, and he was the worst king Israel ever had. And he did that. You know, I preached on that one time, the things that happened to him after he got the extended life caused Israel more problems. God knew what he was doing when he said, you need to die now. But he asked God, pleaded with God, and God granted him 15 years, and he made some of the worst mistakes that and the worst things ever happened to Israel happened in those 15 years. One of them was his son Manasseh, worst king Israel ever had. Praise the Lord. God doesn't miss it. So, praise the Lord. Under siege, but still prophesying. Still praising God. Still singing songs. He got off and got back and kept his heart fixed on God, declared the word of the Lord, and making confession before God, and God delivered him. Now, that's deliverance when an angel comes and kills 187 people. Now, that's deliverance. And here we are wondering if he's going to help us pay our light bill this month. And we walk around and turn on the radio and play, woe is me, lost it all, she's coming back or she's gone, or give me a beer and a pickup truck. That's our music, man's music. You ever listen to it? That's like, dear God, we're... If you just think about it and listen to it, we're pitiful, Lord. I mean, your creation, I mean, we're pitiful. Look what we've done with what you give us. Then they'll line them all up and give them big rewards. Awards. Not rewards, award. But praise the Lord. We make it, don't we? I'd rather sing unto God. get a reward. Amen. You'll be in trouble. You won't be like Hezekiah was. Not like David was, but you'll be in trouble. But you got to know how to write psalms, sing songs of the Lord. You can do that. God gave us all music and talent. God gives man talents, you know, musical talents, ability to write songs. But we use it wrong, you know, and I think God, you know, lets people write music, sing songs just for our entertainment, just for our entertainment. And that's fine. We need to be entertained. We're human beings, you know, flesh. But we have to have the right entertainment. And God will bless us, and He'll give us songs, and He'll give, you know, not for anybody else's benefit, just for yours. You know, you're probably like me. You can't sing that good. But when you get by yourself, you can sing to the Lord. And if you'll start singing, He'll start coming up out of you. Amen? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, in your spirit to the Lord. Making melodies in your spirit to the Lord. Wow. Well, stand up with me. Making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. Well, they knew how to do it. You couldn't get them down. All those other little cities were destroyed, but not Jerusalem, because Hezekiah knew how to seek God. Amen? It all depends on who your leader is. Who's going to lead you at the right path? You better have the right one. Amen? Father, we thank You for the examples of these great men who went before us under great troubles, great trials, great testings, under attacks. You know, we see how they made it out. We see what brought them out of those circumstances. We see where David and all his troubles and distress and trials and situations, how he wrote songs. And he wrote spiritual songs and psalms to You. And we still read them today and be blessed by it. You gave us that ability. You told us to make melody in our spirit to the Lord. Make melody. Make song. Make psalms out of our spirit unto the Lord. Paul and Silas sang unto You, Lord, the night they were in captivity. Jehoshaphat sang unto You, Lord, when they were under siege. David sang unto You, Lord, and we can sing to You. And out of those songs, great deliverance came. There's a song in us, Lord. There's a song in us. And it's not a song of the world. It's a song unto our God. A song of our deliverance. A song about what we've been, our situation, even how we feel and what we're going through. But it brought deliverance. We thank You, Father, for the ability to flow where they flowed and where they walked, Lord. In that same spirit of victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord.